Welcome to Imagine This Radio. I'm your host, Antonio Ruiz, co-founder of the Creativity Network, an arts advocacy collaborative based in Long Beach. Fourth District Councilman Patrick O'Donnell is in his second term, a high school teacher in Paramount, and my neighbor. I sat down with the councilman recently to get his take on a range of issues, including public safety, after-school programs for youth, and how taxpayer money is spent. We began our conversation with a discussion about the diversity of his district.
Speaking with Patrick O'Donnell, Councilman, 4th District. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Antonio. Good to be here.
You know, you have a very interesting district. You represent the 4th District, but the district really goes from the east side of Long Beach to about the center of the city. Describe the district and a little bit about the spectrum of your constituency.
Mm-hmm. You're correct. My district is very diverse in that it changes as you go through the district. If you start on the eastern edge, it starts at the Los Alamitos-Long Beach border, heads on down, and stops at Gardenia and Cherry. If you want a good marker, there's Joe Jost right there, a Long Beach favorite for many a year. So it is, again, a very diverse district. A lot of neighborhood single-family homes on the eastern portion of the district. As you head west, it tends to turn into more apartments, and it tends to be a more transient population in that it moves more often.
What do you think, would you describe, and because of the diversity, I would imagine the answer to this question is diverse, but what do you think are the top three issues in your district?
Mm-hmm. The top three issues, pretty simple. Public safety is always issue number one with my constituents. They want a paramedic or a police officer at their door in 3 or 4 minutes should they call, should they need them. Moving on to topic number two, infrastructure. People are very concerned about the quality of our streets, our sidewalks, our parks where their kids play soccer and baseball. That's an issue. And the third would be people are concerned about how the city spends their money. It's taxpayer money. And that's a very legitimate concern. So it's my duty to make sure those tax dollars are spent adequately and responsibly.
Now you have, before we get to the next question, talk a little bit about what efforts are being done to address all those three issues.
Issue number one, public safety. We're in a situation where we are making budget cuts. The budget cuts are hitting all departments for sure. No department is excused. But we're ensuring that our men and women on the front lines, those first responders, are getting to the calls within the same amount of time they did before this budget crisis hit. So the emphasis is on maintaining our public safety infrastructure and making sure it's as responsive, if not more responsive, than it always has been. Two, infrastructure. You saw Long Beach grab a lot of money during the stimulus venture with the federal government. So we did a lot of work on our streets and sidewalks. There's more to do. We're still committed to sidewalk funding, still committed to street funding. When I came into office, it took about 35 to 45 days to get graffiti addressed. You called in the hotline with your graffiti problem, and it took 45 days to address it. We made some changes with my pushing, and now we are getting to 90% of our graffiti within 24 hours. That is remarkable. That's a remarkable figure. That's a remarkable turnaround. That shows what government do when you push the envelope. Government can do when you push the envelope. I came in. They said, no, Donald, we can't do this. No, Donald, we can't do this. And finally, I sat down with Pat West after he came in, and we found a way to really turn around our graffiti response program. And then what we did was we went over to potholes and looked at them. And we said, 45 days for potholes is not adequate. We've shaved that down to about 10 to 12 days typically. Right now, I'll bet that's not true because we had some historical storms that really increased the number of potholes. But again, my focus is on making sure that those core services are delivered in a timely and adequate fashion. Also questioning how we do things so we can deliver them in a more responsible manner. And I think you look at graffiti and you look at potholes, I think I've done a pretty good job there. I think as a city, we've done a good job at responding to those issues and improving the service delivery.
Let's talk a little bit about one of your You're a big proponent of after school and career development for young people. Give us a slice of what you see as important in that area.
Well, I think it's because the way I see it, my perspective is we are a tale of two cities. The eastern portion of our city tends to have more disposable income, more education, more access to the middle class and beyond, where if you look in, you know, certain parts of our city, that's just not true. Now, remember, I'm a high school teacher. I teach up in Paramount in a very diverse area, a lot of great kids, some with great challenges. So you put that all together and you have someone who sits in that seat that says, hey, we need to address the city. We need to be able to help our citizenry who isn't as well off a little bit more than we have in the past to create an avenue to the middle class. I look at that as, you know, rising tide lifts all ships, because if we help these folks out, eventually they will help us out, you know, given, you know, with their participation in a better economy and with better jobs, and meaning they'll have more disposable income and improve our entire city. So that's one of the things I've been pushing, and what have I been doing to push that is one of the things I've been pushing is digital academies, and that's installing after-school programs around our city in our Parks and Recs program that for sure are sports, but sports plus, meaning we're going to be Anaheim and Freeman pretty soon, right over there at the Parks and Rec facility. We're going to be starting a digital academy wherein kids after school can go in and learn necessary digital skills. What do I mean by that? They'll be able to learn animation, sound mixing, movie making, editing, and those high-tech skills that kids need to succeed in school and then out in the workplace. So that's how the city can do its part to forward the Long Beach economy and its own citizenry.
Sort of moving along with the kids who are already in the 21st century.
Correct. And making sure that everybody's in the 21st century. Not all our kids have access to that technology. So what I've been doing is making sure we have the money to buy that technology in our Parks and Recs Center. And I think this is a very good thing. I think this is going to be this is a good thing for our city. And the way I see this too is maybe one day one of these kids will become an entrepreneur, and he'll start the next Google. Now, Google's never going to move to Long Beach, but the next Google might be started in Long Beach. So it's our duty to kind of create that playing field and create the environment where that can happen. Silicon Valley didn't happen by mistake.
That's right.
It was
That's right. You
know, sort of a planned thing, if you will, because they made some wise decisions. So it's our turn to turn around, look what we're doing now, and make wise decisions and how we can create a playing field where Long Beach can create some good jobs and, you know, harvest the creative economy, if you will.
That's right. Let's jump to some citywide issues, starting, of course, with the city's budget. The mayor, in a recent interview and in the State of the City address, says it's bad. And it's going to get worse with the governor's proposed actions, Governor Jerry Brown. What's your perspective?
I think the mayor's right, and he's right. It is bad, and it is going to get worse. So it's incumbent upon us as elected officials to find more efficiencies, do what we can to do more with less. Those are kind of nice, cute sayings, but the fact of the matter is we have to. And so that's what you'll see us do. And it isn't something that the city necessarily created. The state's going to take more dollars for us, or at least is attempting to. We're going to fight that off to the extent that we can. But again, I think that everybody's got to participate in this solution. And it might mean that at some point we're going to have to cut a deal and maybe end up with less. I hope we don't. I'll fight to stop it. But for sure, I've got to look at reality. And this has got to be a shared venture.
Well, speaking of sharing, let's talk about the pension issue, because that's what's been in the news a lot lately. Give us a little bit about your take. First of all, you know, and you, we've talked about this before, but there seems to be this one bad person, or at least everybody seems to be pointing toward, you know, unions and employees as the bad person. But this is really, when you're talking about shared responsibility, this is about something about bringing people together to solve a problem. Tell us, from your perspective, what is the problem and how do we go about solving it?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me first tell you, I'm not going to play the kick the crap out of the public employee game. But let me tell you what I am going to do. I have recognized that there is a problem. I have shared with our employees association there is a problem. We need to address it. We need to address it together. Now, to say that there's only one solution out there that can get us to that promised land is, I think, a little bit short-sighted. There may be a variety of ways that we can get there. But the way we do it is we go into negotiations, we sit at a table like adults, and we find a solution. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing. We've started that process. To the credit, the associations, employee associations, have come to the table and have acknowledged that there is a problem and that they want to participate in finding a solution. So I suspect in the near future we will find a solution to this issue. It's my hope. And it's my job to help push us towards that solution. I don't have my head in the sand. I recognize there is a significant problem, as has the council as a whole.
Right. Well, because, you know, recently the Press Telegram just did an article talking about it, and I guess the big question or concern is how much longer can we wait to find a solution? And you know about, you know, some of the things that the mayor has talked about and other council people about, you know, putting the issue on the ballot.
Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Listen, if it goes to ballot, it shows that we failed as policymakers to sit at a table and find solutions that can work for everybody. So that should be our first place. It shouldn't be, well, here's a guy who says this is the solution and this is what you're going to do, and everybody's got to meet that bar. I don't know if that's really going to work politically. And I think, you know, my point is very simple. I'd like to find a solution. I'd like to not go to war.
Shared responsibilities.
Correct.
And shared solutions.
Correct. Correct.
With all the talk about budgets and pensions and the impending doom and gloom.
Correct.
Is there anything for us to look forward to? Anything good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Long Beach's greatest days lie ahead of us. And it's our job to help create those great days. I think some of the good things that are going around our community, let me cite them. I think downtown is looking good. When I go to downtown San Diego, I say, wait. Downtown Long Beach is starting to look like this. That's a positive. We have many great neighborhoods on the east side, the west side, in the middle, and up north. We have many great residents, great people in our communities, you know, a few with great challenges, and we need to help address those. Long-term, I'm also looking at how we foster our creative community, which will bleed into, you know, our economic success for sure. And what do I mean by that? I mean, you know, how do we harvest that new technology, see some more incubators open in Long Beach. You know, we've got one coming in downtown.
Right.
That should be a real success, and I hope that's the spark that lights a fire. We're going to have cleaner water. You know, I'm a fan of cleaner water. I've been working hard on that with the breakwater issue. So I'm looking forward to cleaner water, some wave activity, which will bring visitors down to our beaches and bring an estimated $72 million a year in continued economic stimulus on an annual basis. So, again, I think good things are happening on Long Beach, and our better days for sure are ahead. I'm not pessimistic. I'm optimistic. We've got a lot of work to do now. I'm ready to get to work.
And I think that, you know, when you look at the headlines and when you hear what the debate about is, you can sometimes all the good things and the positive actions can sometimes get lost in the thicket of all of that.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things is, to sit there and rely on the good things just to come to you, you know, to me, I think is a little bit of a misnomer. You got to go out and make those good things happen. You got to go out and help us move on this, push this breakwater issue forward. You got to go out and support this effort to create a creative economy in Long Beach. You got to participate in your local government. Come down and, you know, look the council in the ear every once in a while and let us know what you're thinking. That's what the First Amendment's all about. I teach it and I live it, so, you know.
Well, and that leads me to my last question, which is really the same question I asked the mayor, which is, you know, you do have some pretty active community organizations and individuals in the city, but when it comes to times to vote, it's not so great. What can we do to motivate people to vote, and for those who aren't involved, I don't mean just by voting, but coming down to the city council meetings also and calling you and attending your meetings. I mean, you had a great turnout at your last monthly meeting.
Correct. I hold a monthly meeting, my standing meeting, for people to come, and that's their time to bring me either a bag of rocks or a bouquet of flowers.
But it's the first Wednesday of each month.
Correct. Right. At the Los Altos Library.
But talk about what can we do to motivate people to vote, to encourage them to vote, to get more involved?
Well, I'm sure they've been asking this question since the times of Greece and Rome. I don't know, because I've tried myself. I've tried to engage the community and get them into my neighborhood meetings, and a lot do come, and a lot appreciate that we hold those meetings, because that's their time to have access to me and let me know what's going on. Doesn't mean they can't email or call, but that's the time when I'm standing there and they can throw it at me, and I enjoy those meetings. They help keep me level too, quite frankly, because what happens when you get into council, you got to make sure you don't get enamored with that 14-story building downtown, because what's really happening is what's happening. What people really care about is what's happening out in the neighborhoods, and those meetings really keep me anchored. Well, what can we do to further engage people, get them to vote? I'm trying to engage people. I do my monthly neighborhood meeting for sure, but I also do in between meetings, coffees, etc., so that I'm accessible on Saturdays for people who can't get there on a Wednesday early evening. The voting, I'm just talking to Larry Herrera, our city clerk, about this. How can we turn up, voter turnout? And he's got some ideas. Vote by mail, I think, is probably the way we're going to go. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right thing. I don't know if I'm ready to go to a vote by mail only election. Personally, I'm a guy who likes to go down to the ballot and punches holes in the ticket, because that to me is democracy 101, baby. But I think it remains to see. And this is something we're struggling with all over the United States.
Right, right.
People complain, but don't always participate.
Right. Well, if you do have something to say to your councilman, and you're in the 4th District, and even if you're not in the 4th District,
correct,
and you want to speak to Councilman O'Donnell, again, the first Wednesday of each month at Los Altos Public Library.
Correct.
But your website is...
Yeah, you can go to the city website, city website. You can always throw me an email, phone in and say, hey, I need Patrick to give me a call, and I'm glad to call people out. Sometimes you got to back. You got to sometimes give me a few days, because I've got a family and a full-time job, and I don't get to spend as much time at City Hall as maybe some others, but I do my best to get back to people who have questions or concerns.
And I'll go ahead and give you the email address at website address after this interview is over. Well, thank you again very much, Councilman. I appreciate taking the time to speak to us.
Well, thank you, Antonio. It's been great, great questions, and I appreciate all you do to keep Long Beach active, people listening, and people engaged in their community.
Thank you. Good evening.
You can reach Councilman O'Donnell at his City Hall office at 562-570-6918 and through email at district4@longbeach.gov. Again, that's district4@longbeach.gov.